Blog Talk Radio.
Benefiting your morning. It is Monday, September 26th, 2016. I am your host, Brother Ben, from the battlefield city of La Crosse, The battlefield city of La Crosse, Wisconsin, I was just about to say before I sneezed. It's funny. Okay, well, it's already the last week of September. October is approaching. It's very surprising to see how time has flown by all of a sudden. It seems like at one point when my back was hurt, time was flown by real slow, and now it's going on by real quick. Isn't that weird how that works sometimes? Got my coffee. Got that cat fed so he doesn't interrupt me during the show, because he does not like me doing the show. He'll be like, "Oh, I'm hungry, give me food, meow, 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 meow." But we're going to talk about the book of Jeremiah today. We're going to look at Jeremiah chapters 17 through 21, at least as much of those chapters as possible. So let's get right to it. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars. Pause for a second. John Wesley says something I want to read just because I want to get a little more understanding about that. Graven. Nor is it a thing done in secret, but it is engraven upon the horns of their altar. God's altar was four. Square at each corner there was a rising part made of brass. These were called the horns of the altar. Now their sin is said to be engraven upon the horns of the altar, because the blood of the sacrifices which they offered to idols was sprinkled there, or because their altars had some inscription upon them declaring what idol that altar was consecrated. So he's saying that the Jews had corrupted the worship, the original worship site that God had intended for his tabernacle, by them doing these rituals to these other gods such as Ashtoreth and Baal within the temple of the Lord. And that's pretty sad. You know, it's kind of like the way I imagine it. It's kind of like how some churches nowadays are catering to Hinduism and Islam, for example, by having those worship services at times within their church for special events. It doesn't happen all the time, I'm saying, but there are some churches I've heard in the past have done that, where they have a special event within their church promoting that and having them preach on Islam and preach on Hinduism or New Age movement or whatever. And the Lord doesn't like that. It's amazing that he didn't kill every priest who did that. You know, there are plenty of Israelites who had died just by touching the Ark of the Lord the wrong way. Very interesting. Whilst their children remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hills. O my mountain of in the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil, and all thy high places for sin throughout all thy borders. And thou, even thyself, shalt discontinue from thine heritage that I gave thee. And I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not, For ye have kindled a fire in mine anger, which shall burn forever. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see where good when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's interesting. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. All right, so pause for a second. You might have heard that verse before, Jeremiah 17:9, that I read just a moment ago. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, I've been learning, as I've been doing this show, as well as I've heard different people emphasize this as an important value, but when it comes to studying the Bible, I've been learning more and more when it comes to iconic verses. You have to read the verses before and the verses after at times to get an even better understanding. It's not fair just to read that statement and let that be the interpretation itself necessarily, because there is a context for those verses, and sometimes they're not those verses that we like to iconic, you know, make an icon. Oh, these are great verses of Scripture, blah, blah, blah. They're not always necessarily what they mean. You know, I've pointed that out before when it came to when we did the Book of Psalms some time ago, and we talked about the heart that panteth over rivers of water, over the water, you know, and we read the context of the study afterwards, and I said, you know, this isn't how it should be used the way I've heard it before. This is another one of those cases. The heart is deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Yes, we can use it as the intended definition that many people do, saying you can't trust your heart. You know, don't let this. No, not that I'm going to be one of those conspiracy people who says that every single thing about Disney is evil. Yes, there are some things about Disney that I would say are evil, but I wouldn't say that the whole caboodle is bad, like some people would say. However, there, you know, I do agree with some people I've heard online say that when Disney has Jiminy Cricket say, let your conscience be your guide, and when our culture says, oh, what does your heart tell you, that we can't trust that. Because many people quote, well, the heart is deceitful of all things, desperately wicked, who can know it? Well, I heard a preacher, I think it was Adrian Rogers, he said something to the effect of, you can only trust your heart when you have steered your heart towards God, but if your heart has been trained to go wherever, then it's not true, then it's not a good heart you can trust. And that I can agree with because of what he said, what Jeremiah 17:10 says after the iconic statement in 9, I, the Lord, search the heart, I try the reins. Reins, you know, meaning those rope things that you use to steer a horse. You know, you whip the reins, hey, you need to go faster, or you pull them a certain way, you need to go left, or you need to go right, or you really tug on them to have the horse stop and break. You know, when we have the Lord as the master of our heart, then absolutely is it not deceitful of all things. But God is talking about here the verses beforehand that make the heart deceitful of all things. When you are a person who according to Jeremiah 17:5, trusteth a man who trusteth a man, whether it be yourself or whether it be other people, to be your morality, how you define morality, or your God, let alone, you know, when your ways, when your thoughts are not of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you allow your virtues and values, whatever you want to call them, to be of anything that's not of the Bible, then yeah, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But then he's also saying, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope is the Lord is. And then he says in Jeremiah 17:8, a similar idea that Psalm chapter 1 says, tree planted by, when you are a man who trusts the Lord and whose hope is the Lord, you're as a tree planted by waters that spread out their roots by the river and shall not see heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, and the other shall cease from yielding fruit. So this tree has a lot of, has a wealth of nourishment and resources, and it's not one that's going to be one that's easily starvable, that's going to be easily faded, one that's going to be, you know, it's a tree that has life given to it in multiple ways. It's a very fascinating imagery there that I'm looking at here, you know. Jeremiah 6, a man who does not trust in the Lord, he shall be like the heath of the desert. I'm not sure what a heath is besides the candy bar. Heath. Let me look that up really quick. Heath, here we go. A plant of genus Erica of many species is a shrub which is used in Great Britain for brooms, thatches, beds for the poor. Okay, so this is a dry, you know, when I think of brooms, you know, you think of witch, you know, those witch brooms, those corn husk-like brooms, you know, it's kind of similar to that kind of idea, I assume. It's a shell, dry shell of a thing. It's nothing that you would expect to have any sort of delicious fruit, nothing that you could really eat. If you tried to chew on it, it'd be very tough and isn't that kind of how life is without God? It's very tough and difficult. I mean, life in general at times can be very difficult, but, you know, I've been learning more and more that the more I put my faith in the Lord and try to keep my thoughts pure and really seek Him out and who He is and what He teaches, the more He demonstrates to me, hey, I got your back. Just trust me. A lot of things that the Lord has helped me through this year alone that has shown that as proof. And that's one of the big messages the Lord's been telling me this year is, trust me. You have more faith. You need to have more faith. Just, I got it, okay? If it's meant to be, I've got it. I got it. I'll give it to you in time. I'll take care of you. Just trust me. Be patient. Those two things, have faith and be patient, those are the things that the Lord's been telling me the most. And, you know, this is very important. I would definitely highly recommend, if you have your actual Bible out and not a computer program like I have right now, highlight verses, Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 10. Okay? Because those are awesome statements of Scripture. It can't just be 9 that you have highlighted. You have to have 6 through 10 because it gives that bigger picture that when you have a heart that is not dedicated to the things of the Lord, it is going to deceive you and it is wicked. But when your heart is steered towards the Lord, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, it's going to be something that complements the service of the Lord. It's going to be something that gives you life, like that tree in verse 8. Well, let's continue. Verse 11. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he getteth riches, and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. A glorious high throne from the beginning into the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Behold, they say unto me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. As for me, I have not hastened from being a pastor to follow thee, neither have I desired the woeful day that thou knowest. That which came out of my lips was right before thee. Be not a terror unto me, thou art my hope in the day of evil. Let them be confounded that persecute me, but let not me be confounded. Let them be dismayed, but let me not be dismayed. Bring upon them the day of evil. Destroy them with double destruction. Thus saith the Lord unto me, go stand in the gate of the children of the people, whereby the kings of Judah come by, and by which they go out, and all in the gates of Jerusalem, and say unto them, hear ye the word of the Lord, ye kings of Judah, all Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem that enter by these gates. Thus saith the Lord, take heed to yourselves, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem, neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, neither do any work, but hallow ye the Sabbath day, as I commanded your fathers. But they obeyed not, neither inclined their ears, and made their necks stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. And it shall come to pass, if ye diligently hearken unto me, saith the Lord, to bring in no burden throughout the gates of the city of the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day, to do no work therein, then shall there be unto the gates of this city kings and princes sitting upon the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their princes, the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and this city, shall remain forever. Okay, so pause for a second. Now he is saying, all right, so starting with 11, hatch not. John Wesley says, hatch them not, having lost them either by some man that has taken them from her, or by some vermin or wild beast, a fool shall lose it again before he dies, and shall understand what a fool he was. So a person who has something valuable, like a bird and its eggs, for the biblical example, and loses those eggs, that bird's going to be, you know, that bird ought to be very disappointed and sad, you know, just as in this case, God is saying, you have something very valuable in me, but you're squandering it and you're throwing it away. Don't be that foolish. And even takes it a step further and says, you're forsaking a fountain of living waters. And before, he was talking about a place that was full of dryness, and he said heath. It was a, you know, dry, tough plant, you know, nothing of nourishment. And this is very important imagery for people who live in the desert, especially because you don't know where, you know, some people, they don't know where the nearest oasis is. And, you know, resources like that are very, not as easy to come by as in a place like here in various parts of the United States. And he's saying also in 16, I have not hastened from being a pastor to follow thee. So I have not stopped as a prophet of God from following the Lord and from steering people towards the Lord as well. I have not desired the woeful day that the Lord had prophesied to me to the people. So he's saying, even though I have told the people that there's doom coming, I don't want it to happen. I want to see these people repent. You know, we Christians are not supposed to be, and you know, it's I get tempted this way too, but we are not supposed to be like the Apostle John who says, let thunder strike these people. You know, we're not supposed to take delight in somebody suffering. Jeremiah saying, I don't look forward to the woeful day that's going to take place if people don't repent. I don't glean, these people are going to get it. We're not supposed to ever be that way. We're supposed to be confident in the Lord. We're supposed to also steer other people to the Lord. And, you know, we're supposed to be remorseful to those people who say no, and are all foolish about it. And we live in a day right now, unfortunately, where a lot of people are rejecting the Lord and don't understand what they're doing. It's like they see a valuable pearl and say, I can get another one. I can find another one of those easily later. I don't need it right now. You know? And he's also saying, protect me from those people who might persecute me, who might try to confound me, who might try to make me feel bad and dismay me. You know, we have to have that same kind of mentality when it comes to the world. You know, you're going to have people try to act like you're a fool and then try to make fun of you for being a Christian. I get it all the time, by the way. Or I get people who are like, oh, Ben, did you know anything? Because, well, intellectually I can be very stupid at times, but it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ I have any wisdom. But, I mean, even when it comes to the Christian aspect of things, they're like, oh, no. All truth lead to the same place, blah, 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 blah. You know, we live in a very postmodern town. A town that wants to think, hey, as long as you be a good person, societally speaking, then you're going to get into heaven, which is not the truth at all. You know, give some money to charity and be nice to everybody and blah, blah, blah. Yes, those things are good things, but they're not what gives us salvation. It's clinging to the cross of Christ. It is hearing the word of the Lord and having it as what is contained within your heart. And in particular, Jeremiah is also condemning these people for not taking the Sabbath seriously, and that they had to have been like, we're not going to rest the Sabbath day. We're going to work, and we're going to act like as though it's just like any other day. You know, the Lord wants Sunday to be a special day, or the Sabbath day to be a special day. And some people argue it's supposed to be Saturday, and some people it's supposed to be Sunday. I firmly believe it's Sunday, but it doesn't matter either way. You should have at least one day that you have at that day of rest that you dedicate outright to the Lord. And, you know, I'm not always perfect about that. There are times when I do work, you know, I do some things that would be considered work, you know, like cleaning up the house and whatnot, but That day, it's still important for us Christians to observe is our worship to the Lord more intently than any other day. There's a book I read before called Hints on Child Training by H. Clay Trumbull. He has a chapter dedicated to the Sabbath, in fact, saying that arguably a Christian parent ought to encourage their child to think that Sunday is the best day because of the Sabbath, and to encourage it by having special things happen during that time. And I agree. I think that is a great idea. But anyway, let's continue. Spent way too much time in this one chapter alone. But if ye hearken not unto me to hallow the Sabbath day, and not bear a burden, even entering into the gate of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle a fire in the gates thereof, and shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and shall not be quenched. So he's warning them, you need to observe the Sabbath, and if you don't, it's going to be trouble. End of chapter 17. Chapter 18. The word which came from Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house. There I will cause thee to hear my words. And then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work in the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. at what instant shall I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it? If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it? If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Now go, therefore, to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I frame evil against you, and devise a device against you. Return ye now, every one, from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. And they said, There is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will every one to do the imagination of his evil heart. Therefore saith the Lord, Ask ye now among the heathen who have heard such things, the virgins of Israel have done a very horrible thing. Will a man leave the snow of Lebanon which cometh from the rock of the field? Or shall the cold flowing waters that come from another place be forsaken? Because my people have forgotten me? Because they have burned their incense to vanity and caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, to walk in paths in a way not cast up, to make their land desolate and a perpetual hissing, every one that passeth thereby shall be astonished and wag his head. I will scatter them as with an east wind before the enemy, and I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity. Then said they, Come and let us devise devices against Jeremiah, for the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come, let us smite him with the tongue, let us not give heed any of his words. Give heed to me, O Lord, and hearken to the voice of them that contend with me. All right, so Paul's just saying, Jeremiah is saying that a particular message that he has preached to the people are trying to speak against him and trying to persecute him and are denying the very past, you know, the importance of the relevance of the past. And isn't that the time that we live in right now? When you tell certain people about Jesus, they scoff at it like you're some crazy freak. And they refuse to acknowledge the events of the past, and they try to redefine them, worse at that. When they see something valuable, they don't acquire it and take it seriously, and they just desire to walk after their own imaginations of their evil heart. The Lord saying, If you repent and turn your heart back to me, I will reshape you and remolds you, just like a potter remolds reforms his clay, the clay, in order to bind it properly. We need that. We absolutely need that. And yet, we foolishly deny this. Give heed to me, O Lord, and hearken to the voice of them that contend with me. Shall evil be recompensed for good? For they have digged a pit for my soul. Remember that I stood before thee to speak good for them, and to turn away thy wrath from them. Therefore, deliver up their children to the famine, and pour out their blood by the force of the sword. Let their wives be bereaved of their children, and be widows, and let their men be put to death. Let their young be slain with the sword in battle. Let a cry be heard from their houses, when thou shalt bring a troop the pit to take me, and hid snares for my feet. Yet, Lord, thou knowest all their counsel against me to slay me. Forgive not their iniquity, neither blot out their sin from thy sight, but let them be overthrown before thee. Deal thus with them in the time of thine anger. End of chapter 18. I'm not going to be able to read 19, 20, and 21, unfortunately, because of time, but this is an important message, because Jeremiah's warning, hey, if you don't repent, the Lord's not going to have mercy on you and is going to allow you to be captured by an enemy and for you to be judged for your sins. And that's exactly what happens eventually, is that the Babylonians take him out. They kill some of them and put him in slavery. you know, that they are captured in the nation of Babylon. And I'm not saying that that's necessarily what's going to happen to America, but we have to understand that the New World Order doesn't come out without something significant happening to the United States. You know, according to the Bible, that one day there will be a New World Order, and that there is a world government, world religion, world economy that takes over. And the only way that can happen is if America, at the very least, doesn't become as significant as it is now. You know, for the many years, you know, maybe it either signs its rights over fully to be governed by some international treaty, you know, like they're trying to do with certain aspects of the UN, with the UN. I know they do that. They're trying to do that with gun control, for instance, trying to have certain measures that contradict the Second Amendment in regards to the interests of the UN. They're trying to do that, but they haven't done that yet. But that could happen one day. Either way, we need to, whatever you, I don't know. I don't like to theorize too much when it comes to eschatology, but we need to understand something's going to happen pretty bad here if we don't turn our hearts back to the Lord. I don't want to look at every person in my town and say that they're horrible, evil people, because without the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in my life, I wouldn't be any better of a person. In fact, I'd be just as bad, if not worse, than some of those people. But I mean, we need, we need to be people who cling to that word of the Lord, that cross of Christ. We need that to be a part of who we are and our values and our very worship. We need to be men of God at all times, not just on Sunday. We need to really change who we are as people. And I'm challenged to do that, in particular when it comes to my time, when it comes to my words and my conduct, more than ever now. Not just because of reading this today, but just because of the things that I've seen the Lord work in my life, and the things that I have seen Him warn about, and then the troubles I've gotten into in the past. You know, I have to trust the Lord. If He wants me to lead somebody to salvation, He'll help me do it. If He wants me to... Right now, I think He... Even though, yes, He's going to help me lead people to salvation eventually, because I haven't seen myself be able to do that successfully yet. You know, He wants me to just keep improving your life. You have holes in your life that need to be dealt with. Take care of this and take care of that. And then I will let the other things fall into place as they need to. I think that's what one of the things the Lord's trying to tell me in particular comes to my life. I just need to stay confident and faithful of that. Well, that's all the time that we have for today. We're a little over time, but that's okay. Be sure to tune in tomorrow, Lord willing. We have a show tomorrow. I know how it can be sometimes. When we look at the book of Mark, we're going to read Mark chapters 11 and 12, at least as much of that as possible. God bless y'all, and thank you so much for listening.